Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Design for Living Big Book meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Sim and I'm a compulsive and overeater and your chairperson for today. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. We start this meeting by remembering our common purpose to extend the heart and hand of the OA Fellowship to those who still suffer. Let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Today, we are delighted to have Joanne joining us to share her experience, strength, and hope focused on the topic of Step 11. Welcome.
Hi there. Thank you, Sim. Thank you, A Design for Living. My name is Joanne. I am a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be here today. Our topic today is Step 11, so reflecting and building on the work we've done before and breathing in. This meeting starts with a set-aside prayer, and for me, that is part of my Step 11. It's part of my understanding of who I am and why I'm here. Let me just repeat that set aside and think a little bit about what we're saying there. To the mystery and spirit, or that energy, that inner resource, whatever that step two decision was that we made, that power, please can you set aside? I am powerless to set it aside, whatever it is that bothers me today. Please, can you set aside everything I think I should be able to handle? Please open my heart, please open my mind, and allow me today, right here, right now, in this meeting. In this moment, allow me to have a new experience, to be open, to be teachable, to have a new experience today. A set-aside prayer. Thank you, everyone. The set-aside is a space where we begin to pause and breathe and consider the steps, consider what we're learning, consider this powerlessness, and how can I bring the power in? These steps are a paradox many times. When we understand that powerlessness, it opens the door for power. And that's what we're doing every day, leaning into that powerlessness, opening the door for power. My name is Joanne, as we said. I identified as food, having an issue with food from a very young age. I have been obese. I don't know if morbid obesity, actually. I've been over 100 kilos, and I've been maintaining a healthy body weight for many years and a healthy food plan for many years. I've been with my current sponsor for 17 years, and I show up one day at a time. Food is always kind of, I'm aware of my food. I've put down, when I first came into 12-step fellowships, I was 21, and then again at 24. And at 24, I joined different fellowships because food wasn't my only problem. I mean, good luck if food, I had lots of issues. And so I traveled around into different fellowships, and I've one by one been able to release drugs, release unhealthy relationships, get some balance around work and workaholism and financial stability around spending. So all these different areas of my life where I was very compulsive and very much identified with that behavior of baffled. I was just baffled. Why did I do that? I live in Australia, and I once got on a bus to Brisbane. I didn't even know where Brisbane was. If anyone here lives in Brisbane, I didn't realize it would be 3 days on the bus. I just saw it was like $150, and I said, oh, I'm getting on that. It was 3 days. Like I just am baffled by my behavior sometimes. Just it baffles me. And that impacts my relationships. And the seventh step prayer made a decision. My creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, the baffled and the not baffled, the healthy and the unhealthy. All of me. Letting go of shame is a big part of what we do. And I'm ready for you to have all of me, the good and the bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character. So we've gone on a journey to find these character defects and areas where I'm just maybe not so healthy in the way that I think or the way that I behave, recognizing how they serve me, leaning in and embracing them, the good and the bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. I'm not useful when I'm using. I'm blocked from usefulness at work, usefulness with my family, usefulness with my community. I'm blocked from myself. Who am I? I'm blocked. So it is a pleasure to be here today. I'm blocked. Grant, let me just finish that seventh step prayer. We're looking here at step 11, but step 11, there's some work that's gone before it. Step 11 builds on the work we've done before, and it's about pausing throughout the day. The seventh step prayer to finish that prayer. My creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, the good and the bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Grant me strength. I wasn't up to step seven when I first came back to the rooms at 24, and I haven't left since then. I came in at 21. But some things I wanted to look for other ways of doing it. I left. I tried lots of other ways, and I came back at 24, and I'm grateful. And the words from the seventh step prayer were a prayer that guided me. Grant me strength. And I don't know about you, but I needed strength many times a day. I just felt lost and identified with that needing strength. Grant me strength. So, step 11, when you open this big book here, you'd like for the steps to be on page one. I know I would put the steps right up the front so we know where we're going and what we're talking about, but they're not. The first time you clearly see the steps is page 58 or 59, even. And so, if you open your books to page 59, you will see the steps. And we work our way through those steps. And when we get to step 11, down the very bottom of the page, sort through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Sort through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. So there's some words in here to consider. And I was thinking about different ways that prayer has impacted my life from the very beginning. One of the first prayers before, I didn't grow up in a culture of prayer. In fact, it's a bit of a dirty word where at home. I was self-reliance was the way forward. What you had to be strong, you had to figure it out yourself, but I wasn't figuring it out. I wasn't figuring it out. I was a mess. I tried. I kept trying to soldier on, but not being able to figure it out was one of the first things I figured out. I can't figure it out. And at 24, I don't know why it came to me, but maybe they were studying step seven. You come in, and for some reason they're saying the seventh step prayer, and those words, "Grant me strength as I go out from here." Grant me strength. Those were the words that stuck with me. What are the words that stick with you? The prayer that you can hold on to. Today, the serenity prayer and the set aside prayer are words that hold me and guide me. Set aside what I think I know. I should be able to handle them. I should be able to handle this. Set aside what I think I know about my health, about their what they should do, what I should do. Set aside all of that. Open my heart and mind for something new, please. That's the set aside. And I remember the introduction of the set aside into the 12-step culture, and it was a fellow much like me. I like to think sometimes I'm very clever. I'm very, very clever. And I get this dude back in the 70s, he got so clever. He studied, got a PhD, was working, and a very big name for himself. And then he drank. He was a very clever drunk then. We just get very, very clever. And we pick up and we can be picking up and using. So he was a very clever person and he drank. And what a grace that he came back into the rooms, and what a grace that his sponsor was still available and still there and still sober. And what a grace that that sponsor looked at the big book and how the big book talks about lay aside your prejudice. Lay aside your old ideas. They don't serve you. We just get very clever, very educated, and we use. It's not the point. This isn't 12 steps to getting very clever. And so the sponsor told this dude that had gone out and started drinking, and what a grace that he came back. And the sponsor said to him, "Set aside your knowledge. Set it aside. It hasn't served you. Set aside what you think you know." And that was the birth of the set aside prayer as we say it today in these 12-step rooms, that moment. If that hadn't happened, if he hadn't got so clever, if he hadn't picked up, if he hadn't returned, would it have come about the way that it had? I don't know. So the words prayer and meditation, to pray, can look different depending on your culture, your background, your growth, your intuition. To pray is to ask. When the big book says the word ask, A-S-K, those of you internationally, sometimes my accent, we don't understand what we say. But when you ask a question, that is a prayer. It can be a prayer. Please help me. Can you help me? That's a prayer. Pray for help. The paradox of prayer. The prayer is the pause. When I do work with new people and there's controversy or confusion around step two, and we're asking them to start right away to do step 11, pray. And they're, how do I do that? The pause is the prayer. Can you pause? Can you breathe? At its elemental space, that's what that pause is. That's what that prayer is. It's a space where you pause. And I breathe. And in that pause, I'm asking for help. God, help me. I don't have to know the words. Can I pray? Can I pause? To pray is to ask for help. To meditate is to think. In the 1930s, the word meditation meant to consider. So if you're a foreign language person, the word meditation has changed definition. In the 1930s, when you look it up in those old dictionaries, to meditate is the same as to consider. I will meditate on what I'm going to buy for lunch. I will consider what I'm going to buy for lunch. The same word, to consider, to think. And when Bill was putting together this 11th step, he was inviting us to pray, to ask a question in that quiet space, and to meditate, to think. And so I have two meditations that I'm going to invite us to practice today. The first was the set aside, followed by the loving thing. So if you would like to join me for a moment, let us practice a short meditation. We just close our eyes and breathe. And when you work with new people, that breath is huge. It's hugely important. It's part of this coming into this space. It's part of the meditation and the prayer. And we say that set aside prayer, calling on the mystery. We don't know what it is. It is a mystery. Please, can you set aside all that I think should be happening today and all that I think I should understand? Please set aside what I think I should know, what I think should be happening with my health, with my life. Please open my heart and mind to be present today, to show up today. That is the set aside prayer. I change the words every time that I say the set aside prayer. And I often follow it with a prayer that I call the loving thing. Please join me for the question. What is the loving thing for me to do today? In the next 5 minutes, what is the loving thing? The loving thing is an alignment with spirit, self-care. What is the loving thing? Is it to have a cup of tea? Is it to put my feet up? Is it to get up and do a job that I've been procrastinating? What is the spirit telling me? We close our eyes, we breathe, and we sit in consideration of an unanswered question. I'll repeat that. We sit in consideration. So we're thinking about that unanswered question. And we already said the question is the prayer. To pray is to ask. We sit in consideration. So we're thinking. That's the meditation, to consider. We sit in consideration. We sit in an unanswered question. We allow it to percolate. And in this space is guidance. And that is the essence of step 11, leaning in to guidance. I am baffled. My brain is baffling. I'm living every day in a body that is hijacked. Doctor's opinion teaches us. My body gets hijacked. It's like we have an allergy. I don't break out in hives, I break out in more. more people, more f in this fellowship, more food, more control of the food. More, I need more. I break out in this obsessive thinking. So the hijacking happens twice. My body is hijacked. I've got a reactive body, and my brain gets hijacked. It sounds sensible to me until the next day, and I wake up in remorse, that horrible depression and remorse. Just for today, what is the loving thing for me to do? And I sit in the power of an unanswered question, and I think about it and allow myself to sit and breathe. So, in the big book, if we go back to the big book and we'll do a little bit of reading and turning to the big book, if we open the pages now to page 85, down the very base of page 85 of the big book, you will see in italics the words step 11. That's where they start to talk about step 11 in more detail. And I always find it interesting that it starts in the evening for some reason. It's quite interesting that we start our day by reflecting at night. It's interesting. Step 11 suggests prayer, and on top of the word prayer, I've written ask, ASK. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. To ask and to listen. We ask a question and we listen to the thinking that's going on because I have so many thoughts. And we listen and we pause and we reflect and we sit in the power of that unanswered question. That is an alignment with spirit. We don't have to understand spirit. Spirit's too big for humans to understand. We sit in the power of an unanswered question. We just do it. This is a program of action. It's not a program of understanding. It's a program of action. Or that fellow that got very clever and then picked up. That's all that happened. We've just become very clever drunks. It's not a program of understanding, it's a program of action. What am I willing to do today? Small, achievable actions that you are willing to do today. Step 11 suggests prayer, that's where we ask a question, and meditation, and that's where we listen to the thinking. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better, as I'm just reading from the book here, page 86 now. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, here we go. Instructions. When we retire at night, and they give us instructions on what to do constructively. So, helpfully, is it helpful? I can go often into negative thinking. Self-loathing is my friend. I'm the worst person in the world. It's not my friend, but it's that my brain often goes into self-loathing. So in here, they call it morbid self-reflection. Let's read where it says that. So we constructively review our day. So we think about our day. How did we go? Not getting into self-loathing, not getting too strong into that self-reflection. Just think about our day in a helpful way. How did I go? Is there something I could have done differently? Something maybe I should have said, or would have been good to approach that differently? These are things that we consider. We make a note and we discuss them in sponsorship, in meditation, to consider. We consider the day that has just been. We grow. We learn, we grow, which is something that I didn't do very well in the past. So, continuing with reading, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? So we look through our day. How did we go? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed immediately? Should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving towards all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do f or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Of what we could pack into the stream of life. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Now, just going back to that phrase, it would diminish our usefulness to others. Now, if you take a moment to think of the seventh step prayer, it's on, if you want to read it, it's on page 76. If you, I started talking about that at the beginning because it was on my mind. But if you turn to page 76, there's a prayer in there that changed my life. There were the words, grant me strength. Grant me strength. Just those words. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. But part of that seventh step prayer talked about my Creator, now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness. Do you see that? My character defects stand in the way of my usefulness to my spirit, my who I'm maybe meant to be today. Part of my usefulness here stands in the way of my usefulness to you, that spirit, and to myself. Here we are in step 11, thinking about step 11, how worry, remorse, and morbid reflection diminish our usefulness to others. Worry, remorse, and morbid reflection block me from spirit. So we're going to take a moment here to breathe in and have a go at a different kind of meditation. And I have it here, so I'm going to invite you. We've done a set aside prayer and meditation. This meditation has a different philosophy in the background. It comes from a Buddhist background. And I change it a little bit to incorporate our what we do in recovery, where we lean into these perhaps character defects, which may be just unhealthy coping mechanisms. It's just what I do. But how do I do anything different? So leaning in to a different way of seeing, leaning into a different way of praying. To pray is to ask, to meditate is to think. This is a prayer that comes from a different philosophy and it is called metta. Well, it's changed, but it comes from metta, loving kindness. Let's have a look how it goes. May I be peaceful? So you're invited to whisper after me if you wish to. Well, let's just see how it goes. May I be peaceful? May I be happy? May I be well. May I be safe. May I be free from suffering. One more time, just considering the words. May I be peaceful. May I be happy. May I be well. May I be safe. May I be free from suffering. And then we take a moment, closing our eyes and thinking of someone in our life that we love and kindness that fill our heart with joy when we see their mind, their face in our mind. And we say these words: may they be peaceful. May they be happy. May they be well. May they be safe. May they be free from suffering. And we repeat: may they be peaceful. May they be happy. May they be well. May they be safe. May they be free from suffering. And then we bring to our mind someone that we have been having some trouble with. Maybe there's some conflict or some irritation or a resentment. And we hold their mind. And we say the prayer. May they be peaceful. May they be happy. May they be well. May they be safe. May they be free from suffering. And one more time. May they be peaceful. May they be happy. May they be well. May they be safe. May they be free from suffering. And to finish, may all beings be peaceful. May all beings be happy. May all beings be well. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free from suffering. So, what we're practicing there, when Bill W. Was writing down these 12 steps and he was having his journey of recovery, he was influenced by this psychologist called William James, who had written a book called Varieties of Spiritual Experience. And in that book, the study that Bill had read was many cultures from many parts of the world having this journey, having this powerlessness. When the writing of the big book has happened, it's gotten a little bit stagnant, some of us. It's gotten stuck a little bit. Bill W. was such a forward thinker for where he was. I'm quite inspired by some of the actions, being an imperfect person, but the philosophy that he was hoping to introduce was an openness to this variety of experience. Varieties of journey that each of us will have. What is the common thread? Powerlessness. In the 1930s, people, Bill was faced with a cultural challenge. Do we let them in when they're different to us? Do we let them in when they come from a different culture? Maybe a different sexuality, maybe a different color of the skin. Do we let them in? And the hope and the role model that Bill gave many, many times was that primary purpose. You let them in. Our primary purpose is this baffling. What joins us together is this baffling behavior. Baffling behavior. So, for some of us, the prayer and meditation in the big book, that is one way of seeing it. But if that doesn't sit with you, find a way that does. What you're asked to do is to ask for help, to pray, and to think about it. Prayer is to ask, and to meditate is to think. And so that it's a Buddhist philosophy of asking for peace and happiness and wellness, safety, free from suffering. We can bring that into the work that we do. And we can consider ourselves. People often let go or forget to heal the harm that they've done to themselves. Just for today, we lean into step 11. At night, we reflect on our behavior. Upon awakening, we reflect on our behavior. The next paragraph on page 86, on awakening, let us think about, again, it's that meditation. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead and consider the day ahead. The steps happen, all 12 steps happen every day. Every day, you are working all 12 steps. Every day. And just for today, we get to focus a little bit on step 11. Step 11 is bringing that prayer and meditation throughout our day, many times a day, finding different and creative ways to keep it alive for yourself. So I will finish today on that step 11 and the set aside, coming back to the set aside prayer. I change the words to the set aside every time that I say the set aside prayer. And I do that on purpose. Step 12 talks about a spiritual awakening. Having had a spiritual awakening, we fall asleep. Each of us, every day, we fall asleep. We fall asleep in the roles that we play as a child, as a parent, as a colleague at work. As a person walking down the street, we fall asleep. We fall into patterns and we fall asleep and we take things for granted. Waking up is what we need to do every day. And so when I say a prayer, for example, the Serenity Prayer is beautiful. But when I repeat a prayer over and over, it's a lullaby. It puts me to sleep. Which is lovely because sometimes I'm so high, I need to come down. So, repeating something over and over that is comforting, and I've said it many times, can bring me down, which is good. But if I'm leaning into step 11, I need to wake up, I need to think. So, part of step 11 is to think. So, think about the words that you're saying, change the words. Step 11 is not happening if you are repeating words over and over and over again. You will be falling asleep. It's the opposite of what step 11 is about. Step 11 is asking us to wake up. So, for me, I practice that by changing the words. So, for example, I just said, talked about the Serenity Prayer. Let's change the words. So, the words to the Serenity Prayer, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That is a beautiful prayer. I love that prayer. But I've said it so many times, I fall asleep. Let's wake up. God, let me change the words. God, please grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Like today, my irritation with someone or something, my powerlessness, my hijack of my body, the whatever is going on today. Grant me the serenity to accept them. Courage to change the things I can. What does that mean to me today? What can I change today? I can pick up a pen and do some writing, can I? Can I go for a walk? It takes courage to show up to a meeting. It takes courage to raise your hand. and the wisdom to know the difference. What does that mean for me today? What does that mean for me today? So, in a very simple way, we've turned the Serenity Prayer into a meditation where we think. Remember, to meditate is to consider, to think, to wake up and think and apply it to our day. What does it mean today? So, I will wrap up very shortly. Step 11, there is much to say on this step, and there's much that has been said. I hope maybe I've introduced some new thinking around this topic. There is much that has already been said. Today, just introducing that idea that every day we work all 12 steps. We just don't always do a very good job. And the more we focus and learn, the more we maybe can lean into each of these individual steps and how they can be helpful in my life today. What can I do today? Our focus today around step 11 introduced a lot of different steps because every day we're doing all 12 steps. The set aside prayer is steps 1, 2, and 3 for me. I'm powerless. That's why I'm doing the prayer. There is a power. That's why I'm doing the prayer. And just for today, I'm letting go of my way of doing things. I think I know what you should do. And I'm letting it go today. I pray to open my heart and mind for something new, the set aside. So with that, I will pause and hope that you've heard something there to inspire you to think. Imperfect as it was, step 11 is a chance to breathe, to show up, and to practice this leaning in prayer and meditation. To pray is to ask the question, to meditate is to consider, to think. And bringing that into our day, that's step 11. And we grow. We never have it perfect. We grow. So, with that, I will pause. Thank you, Sim.
Thank you, Joanne. According to our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. As we have now moved to virtual meetings, it is important that we continue to be fully self-supporting. This allows Overeaters Anonymous to continue to carry the message to those that still suffer. You are able to send your donations through our website at www.ad4l.info. That's letter A, letter D, numeral 4, letter L dot info. For those of you able to see the Zoom chat, the link will also be posted there. Thank you all for your support. It is appreciated. A reminder that a Design for Living Big Book OA is a daily meeting. We are based out of Melbourne, Australia. The recording from today's workshop will be available from our website, where you can also find out about other upcoming events and speakers. Visit our website at www.ad4l.info. Our next monthly series will be held on December the 14th. The topic will be Step 12. We hope to see you there. In closing, I would like to thank you all for your service in coming here today. By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, we are changing our lives. You will find hope and encouragement in Overeaters Anonymous. To the newcomer, we suggest attending at least 6 different meetings to learn the many ways OA can help you. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honour each other's anonymity. What you hear here, whom you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Let us all reach out by phone or email to newcomers, returning members, and each other. Together, we get better. To close the meeting, will Sandy G please unmute and read the promises that will be shared on the screen?
If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, excuse me, I have to do something here. Okay, sorry. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Thank you for letting me be in service.